item 182.
Amend timeline for placard requirement and tenant notification for unreinforced masonry buildings and required documentation of compliance.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Commissioner. As you know, we had public testimony last week. I believe this is our second reading. The goal of this ordinance is to delay, not repeal, I'll say that again, delay the implementation of the placarding requirement around unenforced masonry buildings. I plan to do my due diligence by speaking with as many impacted communities. I know that the Bureau of Emergency Management is preparing to put a task force in place to look at the systemic upgrades that are absolutely critical in order for us to make sure that the buildings, the brick buildings in the city of Portland are safe. And that process has started. And so it's my goal to come back to this city council long before November of 2020 with a fully fleshed out proposal that actually implement this in a way that provides financial assistance for some of those who need it, as well as to make sure that we've done our due diligence to notify those most impacted by the requirement to upgrade buildings. Again, last week we had a lot of testimony from people who were very concerned about the requirement that they do an encumbrance on their title at Multnomah County. They were also concerned about whether or not they would lose value by putting a placard on their buildings. They also expressed a lot of concerns about just not feeling like they were notified well in advance. And so we're taking all that information into consideration. And today I hope that my colleagues will support this as we start the work of making sure that we implement this appropriately.
Will you yield for a second?
I will absolutely do that.
You know, the mayor is not here today, and I won't speak for him in terms of where he would land on this ordinance, but I do want to acknowledge that in the conversation we had last week, he publicly announced that he felt the encumbrance was a bad idea. And in retrospect, whether it's a lien on the title or not, and there's healthy debate about that, he concluded that he made it clear that he supported that aspect of the legislation that we're taking up. So I want to put that on the record.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. You're right, and I've been in conversations with the mayor in the hopes that, and he said he's looking forward to supporting whatever we come up with, and so I hope we're able to come back with a proposal that we can get all the city council to get behind. Again, this is really not an effort to stymie what we all believe is good public policy, but to make sure we do it in a way that is respectful and inclusive of all the folks that are most impacted by it. Thank you.
Any other comments or deliberations? Well, I'll just say that.
Are we going to take a vote?
Are we going to vote now?
If we're taking a vote, meeting, then we can make our comments as part of the record.
But you are currently the chairwoman. You can do what you want.
Yes, and I suppose I had a few things to say that people might want to respond to, but okay. I can save them for my vote.
No, it's you're the chair. Just
well, since I wasn't here last week, I'd love to hear your comments, Commissioner.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't here either. So I was going to say, I want to say I was sorry that I missed the hearing last week, but that would not be true. Because this has been one of the most frustrating, fruitless conversations that I've had in my last 2+ years on city council. Despite people feeling like they weren't given adequate notice, it's a conversation that's been going on for a very, very long time. And we have yet to achieve clarity. But we really need to, because this is part of a much bigger conversation around public safety and resiliency in the event of a major earthquake, which we know could happen at any moment. So I guess the few things I want to put out there. One, while I do think that we got off on a bad foot with the public prior to my arrival on City Council and obviously Commissioner Hardesty's, I want to commend staff for all the work that they've done on this. It's been a really difficult process. There are no easy answers because it is such a complex issue. And this is really not about the quality of the work the staff has done. I do think we need to do a better job communicating with the public, but the staff work was really excellent. So I want to thank PBEM, BDS, Prosper, and other staff members who have contributed to this effort. As I kind of referenced before, I don't know where URM buildings sit in the hierarchy of priorities that we need to consider when we talk about preparation and resiliency. I, for one, am very concerned how we're going to deal with the threat of the fuel tanks on the west side of the river north of downtown Portland. Many people think that the river will become our primary mode of transportation after an earthquake, and I regret to inform them that the river will be full of dangerous debris and it will probably be on fire. So you are not going to be traveling by boat. I'd finally like to say, and then open it up for responses or comments from my colleagues, because I wasn't here to hear all the testimony last week, that there really has not been a hidden agenda here, and I've been very disappointed by some of the misinformation being spread by opponents to our work on URMs, whether it's retrofits to the buildings or the placarding. I strongly believe that residents, whether they're commercial or residential residents, have a right to know that they're living in a building that is not up to current safety standards. I have yet to hear a compelling argument against that. I've pointed out many times that half of our schools are URMs and don't meet current safety standards. This is common public knowledge, yet people still send their students to school. So I do feel like we're having kind of a somewhat of a Chicken Little moment with this conversation, but I actually encouraged and supported Commissioner Hardesty's decision to delay the placarding requirement. We need to get together on this conversation as a community because it is going to impact all of us. And if we don't, council is not the only one to blame. I'll just leave it at that. Commissioner Fritz, did you have any?
I get to vote first, so I'll just make my speech then.
Okay. All right. So, no further comments. This is Carla, please. This is a second reading, so we're not taking testimony again. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, I appreciate Commissioner Hardesty doing the actual code change to delay implementation of what was decided last year. I was very disappointed that it came to council last week when I had an absence that was scheduled. Well, my absence was filed last year, but my mother's birthday was filed 8 or 9 years ago. So, and then especially when Commissioner Hardesty was not able, Commissioner Udaly was not able to be part of the conversation. This is something that the council has been engaged in. This is my 11th year on the council, and Jana Papa Afrimu has been working on it ever since I got here. So I would second Commissioner Udaly's commendations to staff and all of your diligence. You've taken the brunt of it and dealt with it extremely well. As public servants, it's our first responsibility to inform Portland community members of any information that might impact their health and safety and to do what we can to ameliorate those risks. And as I stated when I supported the ordinance last October, I view the placarding requirement as a way to build public awareness of the issue and support for solutions. Instead, as Commissioner Udaly has alluded to, there's been an absolute disgusting amount of misinformation that has been spread in the community. Even the stating that there's an encumbrance on the title. No, there was a requirement to tell future tenants on the title that, in other words, to keep the placard in place. That's all. That's all that was required. It's not like we were requiring the upgrades, that we were requiring anything else. And that was all that was required, and I thought that was fairly minimal. A study in Seattle has shown that placarding by itself, well, it's hard to even assess the impact of placarding by itself because most other jurisdictions have required upgrades. And even a study in Seattle pointed out that that their council has already heard the same kinds of discussions that we have, but they pointed out that demolition of old buildings will disproportionately impact communities of color and low-income people, yet these communities are the very communities that are most likely to be hit the hardest in terms of life safety, personal injury, and displacement when an earthquake strikes, because it's not if, it's when. And so I think it's really unfortunate and failing our communities of that have the least resources to say that we're not even going to tell them that they're living in these buildings or working in these buildings or walking past these buildings that will almost certainly collapse in the event of not only the big earthquake, but even a 5 or 6. There's been many different places that have experienced deaths from people walking past or being in these buildings. And I think that at the very least, we could let people know that they are at risk. The new ordinance does require new leases to disclose that information. We can't change the contract of previously signed leases. At this point, we're not even requiring notification or having any mechanism to notify tenants, whether business or residential, that they're living in these buildings. So I hope that in the process as you move forward, Commissioner Hardesty, you will look at if the landlords can't or won't do it, that the city would notify these residents that they are living in hazardous places. I do support removing the recording requirement, particularly since it was so mismessaged as far as what it was, but requiring direct notification of compliance with the Bureau of Development Services if and when it happens. I hope that all of our city buildings now have these placards in place. If they're not, I hope call upon each of my colleagues to make sure that the bureaus within their jurisdictions will post these placards. I think it'll be really interesting to see whether people stop attending Keller Auditorium if there's a placard posted. Similarly, if they stop using the Water Bureau buildings that will have the placards posted. It's our responsibility to do something about it. I do recognize that we also need to engage building owners and users in the ongoing process. I don't think that that necessarily meant that we shouldn't have placarded in the meantime. I think that would have continued to build awareness because now, once again, it's kicking the can down the road. And I appreciate that Commissioner Hardesty saying we're not kicking it very far down the road. To me, 2020 still seems a long way away. And so I hope that we will have an outcome at the legislature this session where we were looking to set up a grant fund, not a tax abatement, because both government and nonprofits such as churches, that doesn't benefit from a tax abatement. But we do need a grant fund, like Commissioner Hugh Daly alluded to. Which of these buildings really are worth investing in improving and which ones perhaps are at the end of their useful life? I hope that we're going to fund the historic resources inventory, which has been delayed for many years in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, whether it's by allocating an additional amount of money to that work or requesting that the commissioner in charge redirect resources within the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to do that work and also development services. It's important for us to figure out which of these buildings are really historic, worthwhile, and needed, and which ones, while it would be expensive to demolish them and help with rebuilding, at least they would have the mandatory inclusionary housing, at least they would then be safe for another 100 years or beyond. And so I believe it's our civic duty to continue working on this and that we can't keep ignoring this problem. And I'm just concerned that by not doing this placarding, we are delaying resolution of a problem that has gone on for far too long. No.
Fish.
Let me begin by thanking Commissioner Hardesty for bringing this forward and for structuring what I think has been a very productive and fruitful conversation. I would note that if we were keeping score last week, I think the overwhelming sentiment was repeal, not delay. That is not what you're proposing. and that's and you have not changed the course that you laid for us, and I think that's worth noting. I think that puts it in context. I'm also pleased that my colleagues are separating out the passions of the moment and the passions of some of the advocates on this issue, frankly, some of the over-the-top rhetoric of some of the people we've heard from, and separating that out from the good work that staff has done. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that we don't turn to staff to make the policy calls. We make them.
Yes.
And we sometimes modify our positions or reverse course or other things. That is not a reflection on staff. The problem with this issue has not been a problem of the quality of the staffing that we've received. And I will say that publicly and privately in every possible setting, because I think there were some moments of awkwardness last week where, frankly, some of the people testifying went off message and appeared to be attacking staff. That's dealing from the bottom of the deck. Attack the people that are elected to make the decisions. Don't attack the people that are assigned to do the work, unless you think they're incompetent, in which case you have a right to make that claim. And no one said anyone was incompetent. So I'm pleased that we can separate out the issues of the policy questions from the staffing. I gave a fairly comprehensive statement last week about where I land on this, but I just want to highlight a couple of things around my goals. Number one, I'd like to see a comprehensive solution. There isn't anybody that disagrees that there is a risk posed to this community by future earthquakes. The question in my mind, and the central question, is can we structure a system of grants and incentives to protect as many of the vulnerable URM buildings as possible while also protecting public safety? And for me, that's the question. And what has been clear to me lately is there's more work to be done to try to build a durable consensus to move this forward. So I believe taking a timeout now in a reasonable delay to seek a broader consensus is exactly what we should be trying to do around a contentious issue. And frankly, given who we've heard from in the faith community, the small business owners, the mom and pop landlords, the historic property developers, the music venues, and others, we have a big stake in getting this right, because the unintended consequences of our otherwise laudable action could have disastrous consequences to people that own buildings, which we all agree add a lot to the character of our community and we want to preserve at all reasonable costs. Finally, it is my view, to beat an old cliche, that we put the cart before the horse. I did not vote on this placarding requirement in November. I think a reasonable delay to seek the broader consensus makes sense. It will give us a chance to see whether the legislature acts on proposals for grants and incentives. It will give us a chance to look to see what kind of city resources can be made available. I think that's laudable. And what we are doing, in effect, is responding to a fairly broad-based set of anxiety out in the community that we're moving forward before really figuring this out. And I think of all the various options that Commissioner Hardesty was presented with, the most reasonable one was to exempt all buildings from a requirement until November 20th other than city buildings. I think that gives us the opportunity to do it right, but this is not a repeal. This is a delay. And if consensus can't be reached, then the council is going to have to act in any regard. So thank you for what I think has been a very useful conversation, and I vote aye.
Hardesty?
I want to thank all my colleagues. I'm so sorry that Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Udaly were not able to hear the public testimony. But I can assure you, and I'm sure you've heard from many of the public who have expressed concerns about the implementation of this ordinance. I learned so much more than I ever wanted to know about unenforced masonry buildings in the last few weeks. And I really want to compliment Amit Kumar, who's a structural engineer in the Bureau of Developmental Services, for taking the time and really educating me about both how the list was developed, because a lot of the testimony I heard was that there was a drive-by list development at the public hearing last week. And so I do understand that there was a long process that took place, that there was an initial development of the list of the URM buildings, unreinforced masonry buildings, and that there was due diligence to go and double check and triple check to ensure that that list was in fact the right list and included the right buildings. Were there still buildings on the list that the Bureau of Developmental Services didn't know should have been taken off? Yes, there were. But there are certainly processes in place that allow building owners who don't believe that their building should be listed to have their buildings removed if, in fact, we find out that they should not have been on the list. It is absolutely amazing to me the amount of calories that we have put into this particular issue, but we are committed to putting more calories into it because, for me, it is important that we do this right, not that we do it fast, not that we do it so that we're just using a hammer to force people into compliance. So where are we going from here? Where we're going is that the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management will be putting together a task force. I've talked to Oregon OMF. What does OMF stand for?
Office of Management and Finance.
Thank you so much. Office of Management and Finance to put together a work group to look at financial options. As Commissioner Fritz has said, the legislature will be considering a bill to help owners be able to pay for the improvements that we're looking for. But at the end of the day, I want to be very clear. No one wants buildings to fall down and hurt, injure, and kill people in an earthquake. No one wants that to happen. And no action that we're taking is actually to further the demolition of buildings. I've heard some real wild conspiracy theories as I have worked through this process. And I think as a new commissioner who inherits work that has been done in previous years, I felt it was important to do my own due diligence, to educate myself on this issue, to talk to the people that were most impacted by the issue. And though I appreciate the votes that were taken prior to me getting here, I feel I have an obligation to slow the process down and make sure that as we roll it out again, we are rolling it out in a way that actually is a cooperative effort and not a hammer that we're banging people over the head with saying, you got to do this or else. Some of the things that I've heard, like this was a takings and we were trying to put all black churches out of business, and I've heard some really crazy stuff as I've been doing my due diligence around this issue. And anyone that knows me would have to know that I am not going to be a tool for undermining black faith institutions in our community or arts institutions or music institutions. Those are institutions that I value greatly, and my plan is to work with those institutions to make sure that we have a more positive outcome. But I want to be clear. At the end of the day, I have an obligation to make sure that Portlanders are safe. I don't expect that what we come back with will have 100% agreement, and I'm not looking for 100% agreement. What I'm looking for is some commonality, some middle ground that actually puts us on a path to making Portland a safer city for all of us. And so I want to be very clear about that. If I waited for 100% agreement, we'd never, ever, ever come back and have this conversation again. I want to absolutely thank the incredible staff at the Bureau of Portland Bureau of Emergency Management. I want to thank my staff, Derek, who jumped into this feet first when we first got on board. I want to thank the incredible work of the Bureau of Developmental Services because I know they get beat up an awful lot. And sometimes they're doing great work, but they're doing it under really challenging circumstances. We're going to get this right. We're going to do it in a way that's respectful of people. But at the end of the day, we will make a decision about moving forward. I vote aye.
You, Daly.
Well, I'm reminded of one of the most disappointing conversations I had on the subject which was a property owner telling me that they shouldn't be required to notify their tenants or placard their building because that would put them at a disadvantage to newer buildings. And my response was, you should be at a disadvantage. You are providing substandard housing. Call me nostalgic, but I miss the days in Portland where living in substandard housing came along with paying below market rate rents. Frankly, I think that's how it still should be. My personal experience indicates otherwise, though. I was initially very supportive of both the notification of tenants and the placarding, but after an earlier hearing we had on this item, enough issues were raised by property owners that I felt couldn't be adequately answered and we couldn't get clarity on that my confidence wavered and I ultimately did not support the ordinance. I want to be clear, like Commissioner Hardesty, we have to prioritize public safety. I absolutely support implementing the notification piece of this ordinance as soon as possible. I also support delaying the placarding until we achieve greater clarity and give property owners a chance to get in compliance. And speaking of compliance, I want to implore those property owners who actually do have the resources to do seismic upgrades to just do it. Don't wait for the city. Just do it. There are tax abatements available. There's an excellent program called Property Fit Oregon that is available to, I want to make sure I get this right. Commercial and residential buildings and multifamily with 5 units or more, you could end up with a positive cash flow after debt service if everything goes perfectly. And while many property owners might not realize immediate cost savings or increase in property value, it's ultimately going to pay off. And most importantly, it's going to save lives. With that, I vote aye. The ordinance has passed.